When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Templey.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Right to an attorney prior to and during any questioning. You can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked, but Detective Overton made you sure to turn to shit.
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And coming to you today to tell you part two of Mama Said. Y'all stay tuned for some announcements at the end of the show. And we'll take it from there. I'm going to want to get right into it. So I hated to leave y'all in a story last week where I did on Mama Said. So look, this is a spoiler alert. If you hadn't heard the first Mama Said, then don't listen to Mama Said part two. Just get right to it. The story itself, I had to set it up, what happened in the time frame that it happened in after Hurricane Katrina, because it's important, because everybody thought the guy that stabbed the assistant chief was from New Orleans. I end up going in and identifying him as a local guy, okay? So that morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, when Tony Edwards identified him, and then we had other people identify him from the jail, I start working this case. I'm getting statements. These people are positively IDing this. It's like the first brick in the foundation, y'all. Yeah, I can't go get an arrest warrant off of the sketch artist thing. I mean, you can't come half-ass on what could potentially be a death penalty case if the assistant chief dies. Now, he's out of ICU, Walter was. They said that he was going to live, et cetera. So I start working the case. So I get Walter's information, look up his addresses and all that stuff, his criminal history. And like I told you, he'd done 10 years in prison. He copped a 10-year plea deal. He probably would have got, 40 years for stabbing another guy in a fight. And not Walter, Stephen May. And so I take it and I get it together. But by this time, I'm wiped. And it's like 4 or 5 in the morning. I said, you know what? And I told, I think it was Stan, I think Brian Paul and I were partners at the time, Brian Paul Smith, and I had called him and told him and everything. I said, look, I got to go to the house. I got to get some sleep. And I called Hunter, the chief of Walker. I said, look, I got the guy, and I told him who it was. I said, but we got to work this slow and low. I said, call Big Country. Yeah, that's the detective with the state police, a good friend of ours. And we've been through battles together, right? And I said, call Big Country and find out what time he can meet. And whenever y'all can all meet, I'll bring the stuff and we'll meet at Walker PD and get a game plan together. I said, I'm going to the house. I got to get some sleep. And we've been working like, I don't know, almost 20 something days straight. And it's just crazy times. The parish just full of evacuees and, you know, still recovering from the storm. Now, the main thing, Hurricane Rita is barreling down on us now. All right, so Katrina hit on the 29th of August, and then the levees broke. You know, the next couple of days, the levees were breaking, but New Orleans is totally flooded out. The city's dead. It's ghost town now. All these people are displaced, hundreds of thousands of people displaced, and we had a lot of them in Livingston Parish. Now, if you were selling a house or something in Livingston Parish time, they had oil companies and big corporations that were coming in buying houses unseen to put their people in, right? Not even going to look at them, just saying, calling and sending a check. We're buying all these houses. So you're getting all this influx of people coming in. And, you know, that's one of the schools of thought of why the guy that stabbed Walter Days, his assistant chief, was from out of town. But Rita was coming. Now, Hurricane Rita was another monster. And it's kind of like this year, right? South Louisiana getting hit with two in a couple weeks. So Rita hit on September the 24th. Now, Walter got stabbed on the 16th. I think I was able to identify. Okay, so yeah, that's right. Walter got stabbed on, I think, the night of the 16th. I think it was a Friday night. Rita forms on the 18th and is coming like a bitch. And would he ultimately end up hitting Louisiana on the 24th. And at the last second, it diverted away from us again in New Orleans and went to Cameron Parish. The same part of Louisiana just got slammed by two hurricanes. But anyway, go to the house, I catch some Z's, catch a shower, fresh clothes, and Hunter calls and says, hey, Big Country's going to meet us over here about 5 p.m. at my office. Sorry, I said, I'll meet you. And then I went over there and we get together. And I said, look, this is what we got. And I pulled Stephen May. Not only had I pulled his criminal history, I pulled every photo mugshot they had of him, Department of Correction pictures, et cetera, pulled anything we had on him. And he looked just like the dude in the sketch. So I sit down and I tell him about it. I said, look, the jail supervisor said he just got out. The trustees, you know, they didn't have what name to say when they gave him the sketch. I mean, everybody identified him. We didn't say, hey, you think this is Stephen May? They're all like, no, it's Stephen May. I'm telling you, he just got out. So I pulled his DOC or Department of Corrections photos and drivers. I don't think he had a driver's license. I think his state ID or whatever. Shit is spitting image. Long, nasty ass hair down on his shoulder, kind of greasy. And, you know, got out. I mean, he has a history of stabbing people, et cetera. I said, listen, we cannot fuck this up. We got to work it. We got to get more probable cause than what we have. We could probably push it in. Go off of these identifications, because probable cause, y'all, is just 50% plus one. That's not proving it beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. It's two different things. So we could probably push it and go arrest him on a probable cause warrant, get a warrant signed by a judge. I said, but I want more. And Big Country's like, hell yeah. This guy's been in the system his whole life. He's 47 years old. He know he's taking his shit to trial. When we do it, we got to do it correct. I said, so game plan is what I was thinking. He was a known drug user. Crack, I think it was his big deal. And numerous arrests and stuff for it. And let me back up. When I put it out to the uniform guys before I went home to go to bed, I called a supervisor that were on duty. I said, listen, we're looking for Stephen May. If y'all put your eyeballs on him, let me know. But Danny Gomez, who was a supervisor, I think he was my first supervisor, first person besides Ben Smith. He's now deceased. Rest in peace, brother. The first person I rode with was Danny Gomez. You've heard me talk about him. He could outrun anybody, et cetera. But Danny called me. He said, Woody, I stopped Stephen May that Saturday morning. And I said, really? I said, where at? And he said, by the car wash. He said, but I didn't know y'all were looking for him. I said, shit, but we didn't know we were looking for him either at the time. I mean, it took me a couple of days to process it. He said, but I stopped him. And he said, I know him. I think Danny might still be in uniform patrol, but he also was on SRT or SWAT. He said, I stopped him. And he said he always has knives on him. And he said, you know what? I think Danny had, unfortunately at that time, for whatever reason, the sketch had not been disseminated to the uniform patrol guys yet, or Danny hadn't seen it. And he said, I stopped him. And he said, he was nervous as shit. I mean, I stopped this guy all the time. He's always got a glass dick on him or a crack pipe or whatever. He said, I stopped him all the time. He knows me. And said, this time he was like jumpy. And he always has knives on him. I said, well, that fits too. And so I said, if you see him again, you know, try to keep tabs on him. Just call me. I said, we'll get a SWAT team member to follow him or something, a detective to follow him, to keep up with him while we build this case. And he said, I said, but he definitely had a knife on me. He said, yes, he had one. He said he normally carries more than one. And law enforcement, they call that the 1+1 rule. If you arrest somebody or you stop somebody and you find one weapon on them, you better believe they have another one. I don't know why it works like that. It's just the way it is. If they have one weapon, they're going to have another. But he said he only had one knife, Woody. He only had one. And so he said, I stopped, and he said he was walking home to his mama's house. So anyway, back to it. Me and Hunter in Big Country. Now, remember, I told you, Hunter is just this massive, huge muscle hit. I don't want to call you a muscle head, Hunter. Muscle up guy, and can rip phone books and stuff and bend chairs and metal chairs over his head and stuff. Just crazy strength. And then you got Big Country, who's got to be 6'9". He's like a giant. It's huge, right? And like I said, these guys that I came up with, we went to basically a war together in uniform patrol on the streets and stuff, and just two of the best. We put a bolo out on Stephen May. And so everybody was looking for him. And I said, you know what, guys? We sat around, we kicked, you know, the can on it, or whatever, talked about what we were going to do when we found him, et cetera. I said, I need to question him. I got to get him past Miranda. I got to get him, you know, find out what he's going to say his story is. And we sat around to the point where we were like, shit, let's go. Let's go look for him ourselves. And because Danny told me he's always on 190 by the car wash in between Jubin and Walker. He said that's where he gets his dope. That's where he's always walking. I said, well, shit, we go ride too. We had nothing else to do. Meanwhile, Walter's still in the hospital. I mean, he's not out of the woods yet. So we got luckier than shit. We were riding down 190, and it was another one of these dark, misty nights, like the real humid, like the night that Walter got stabbed. I just remember that because you drive down the road, and you can hear, after a rain, you can hear the water being thrown off your tires because we were in my big unmarked truck. You can hear like the spray being thrown. It was that kind of wet, dark, hot night. And shit, we're driving down 190 now. I assure you, if Stephen May had seen a blue and white or a cop car coming, his ass would have been hiding in the ditch. But I got this big jacked up undercover truck and I see a white male. I said, holy shit. And it's right where Danny said he would be. And he's walking our direction. I said, y'all, I think it's him. I think it's him. So I pull over and we jump out of the truck. Now, you can imagine this. I wasn't a little guy at the time, but you imagine Big Country and Hunter getting out and me getting out on you and running up, basically running up on you. I mean, if this is him, he tried to kill a cop. All right. So you can't take that lightly. And we run up on him and sure shit, it's Stephen May. And as we're running up on him, you know what he does? He throws his hands in the air and his first words out of his mouth before I could say anything, he said, I ain't got nothing to do with stabbing that cop. I ain't got nothing to do with stabbing that cop. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I said, whoa. I said, oh, man, hold on. He said, I ain't stabbed no cop. I said, oh, hoss. I said, settle down. I said, hold on. I said, look, just calm down. I said, my brain was firing. This is my opening, right? I'm going to play him. And I knew, Hunter knew that I knew I was doing. Hunter had never been in the detectives before he went to chief of police. Big Country knew I was doing, and he had a lot of investigative experience. And told him, I said, what's your name, man? He said, I'm Stephen May. I said, all right, Stephen. I said, look, we're absolutely out here talking to people about the stabbing of the assistant chief of police of Walker Police Department, Walter Daisy. I said, and look, as soon as we get out on you, you're like, I mean, we got badges and guns on. I mean, you know, we're the police. So, yeah, I know you're the police. We didn't let him put his hands in his pocket or anything, but I didn't want to start out on this guy high and turn him off because he's a seasoned convict. I said, look, man, we're out here. We need your help. I said, I believe you. You didn't have anything. You say you didn't have anything to do with it. You know, shit, why wouldn't I believe you? I said, but you know what? I know you're a man of the streets. And then he starts shaking his head. Yeah. And affirming. I said, I know you walk these streets because I talked to the uniform guys and they told me I should talk to you because you're always out here and you know every player. He said, yeah, man, but there's a lot of people from out of town. I said, no, don't worry about here. I said, look, you know, it's misty. It's hotter and shit out here. Let's go. Let's ride up to Walker PD. You're not under arrest. Let's ride up to Walker PD and get in some air conditioner. I said, because we really need your help, man. I said, I really need your help. That cop is laying in the hospital and they don't know if he's going to make it or not. And he was like, and he kind of got silent. I said, you're not under arrest. Come ride with me in my unmarked truck. And no handcuffs, nothing. And he said, okay, all right, I'll come talk to y'all. I said, but before you get in, put your hands on the hood and let me pat first for officer safety. I said, I don't know you. The uniform guys know you. I said, but you might have a bazooka or something in your pocket, right? I just do this. Before I put my own mama in the truck, I pat frisk her for officer safety. And so patted him down. Fucker had a knife right front pocket. I mean, he had his hands on the hood. I'm patting it down. I felt it. I said, what's this in the pocket? I already knew what it was. He said, it's a pocket knife. I said, you'll mind if I get it out and hold on to it while we're talking, right? I said, you know, Walter got stabbed. He said, no, I don't mind. And he started going on and on. I got the knife out. We get him in the truck. We're not, I guess we weren't 2 or 3 miles from the Walker Police Department. And the whole way there, he wouldn't shut up. He's like, I ain't stabbed no cop. I said, dude, hold on. And then the big country was like, hey, Hoss. And he said, well, he ain't saying you stabbed nobody. Just settle down. We need your help. You know, we need to get this case solved. And I think you're the man to do it. Now, the country's got some good investigative skills too. I think y'all, Kevin Duvall has since retired from the state police, like maybe a major or a lieutenant colonel, whatever. And he's now working as an investigator for the fire marshal office. So Kevin, if you listen to this, congratulations on your retirement. So we get to Walker PD. And there's nobody there. We go into their like interior interview room, which was kind of more like a break room slash interview room, and they needed it. And we shut the doors and we sit down and I say, hey man, you want something to drink? And he did. We got him a Coke or whatever. So I got him out before we went in and talked to him. I said, I'm going to play it like we said we were going to play it. We need to get him past Miranda. But I said, technically, we don't. And, you know, but we're going to do it anyway because it's going to get challenged. At what point do we bring it in? I said, getting it past Miranda is everything.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year though, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go. And then we'll see what he has to say. So we go in and sit down and say, hey, man, again, I really appreciate you coming and helping me. I said, these are hard times for everybody after the storm and all these people running around this parish and police officers getting stabbed. And I said, all these evacuees, you know. I said, but look, just like I pat frisked you before I put you in the truck, I want to tell you your Miranda rights. I said, you are no way under arrest. I mean, you're not even close to being under arrest, but I want you to know you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney prior to and during any question. If you can't afford one, a court appointed one for you. You understand your rights? He had his head hung down. He's shaking his head back and forth. I said, Stephen, I said, you're not under arrest, dude. Anybody wants to make a statement to me about anything in my life, I've been doing this long enough where I always advise Miranda rights. I said, do you understand your rights? He said, yeah. I said, do you freely and voluntarily talk to us right now? And I mean, we're not threatening you or promising you anything. And he said, yeah, man, I'll talk to you. I said, you don't want a lawyer? No, I don't want a lawyer. I'm good. And I said, all right, man. I said, need your help, man. I'm really pumping him up. We went back and forth and just really pumping him up about it. And it's his turf, and he, you know, if anybody knows, he's going to know, et cetera. We're not asking questions yet. We're just inflating his ego. Me and Big Country, just Hunter was just sitting there being quiet. I said, Stephen, I don't want to be here. I wish the cop hadn't got stabbed. And I said, this is my brother-in-law talking about Big Country. I said, I'm married to his sister, and it's another night that I'm away from home. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. She's a real bitch. And Big Country said, yep, she's a bitch, man. I said, and she always thinks that I'm cheating on her. And I'm sure I'm going to get several phone calls while I'm in this interview with you. And it's going to be her. And she's going to be raising the hell at me. So I said, I don't want to take a whole bunch of time. But I said, at the same time, I don't want to rush it because it's too important. I mean, your knowledge is. And he said, okay, man, I get it. All right. I said, so tell me where you were Friday night. He said, which Friday night? I said, the Friday night that Walter Daisy got stabbed on Carroll Road. He said, I went nowhere near Carroll Road. I was at my friend's house, and he gave me the friend's name. And I'm not going to say y'all because this guy's innocent. I said, so what time did you get to your friend's house? He said, I don't know. I got there probably, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 7:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. I said, what'd you do? He said, well, I spent the night there. We watched movies and TV, and I just hung out there the whole night. I said, you didn't leave. He said, He said, no. He said, but. I said, but all stuttering. He's so excited, right? He said, but. I said, what? He said, I saw a guy. I said, you're right. I got the information. I saw the guy that stabbed the chief of police. I said, what the fuck you mean you saw him? He said, I saw him. I said, where'd you see him at? He said, at the car wash. I said, what'd he look like? He said, shit, he looked just like me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, he was about my height and he had a mustache and facial hair. And he said he had long hair down his shoulder, just like me. Now, if you were watching my video, you could see that I'm tapping. Stephen was tapping his shoulder. He said he had long hair down his shoulder, just like me. I said, he looked just like me. I said, really? I said, and how long was his hair? He said, down his shoulder, just like me. And he's tapping his shoulder again. And I said, and you saw him at the car wash? He said, yeah. I said, your height? And he said, yeah, man, I ain't never seen that dude before. My height. And I said, how long was his hair again? He said, down his shoulder, just like mine. And I looked at Big Country, and he knew what I was getting at. Here's the problem for Fucksteak. His hair was short. Stephen May did not have long hair. Okay? So Big Country said, hey, Hoss, how'd you know it was him? He said, man, I don't know. He said, but I just figured it had to be him because he was, you know, I'd never seen the cat before. And I figured he's from New Orleans, must be an evacuee. He said, when that composite sketch came out, he said, I saw it. He said, that guy looks just like me. And he said, well, how long? Tell me again. Now we're recording this shit, y'all. How long? What did he look like? And Stephen May is such a crackhead, he doesn't even realize that he's still saying that his hair is long, right? And the country said, how long was his hair again, Hoss? He said, down his shoulders just like mine. I said, well, Stephen, you know, I kicked country, and Hunter's eyes got bigger and where Stephen May couldn't see him. I kicked country, and I said, Stephen, I said, so you saw him? And he said, yeah, he was walking in the direction of Carroll Road, and he looked just like me. I said, you tell me about the sketch, when you saw the sketch. He said, well, the next morning, after I stayed at my buddy's house, I walked home, and he said, when I walked in, he said it was around noon or just afternoon. He said, I walked in, and it's my mom and daddy's house. I walked in, my mama's sitting on the couch, and she's watching the new news, and she turned, and she looked at me, and she said, Stephen. I said, what, mama? She said, baby, did you stab that police officer in Walker? And he said, hell no, mama. Why would you say that? She said, because they just showed a picture of the sketch, and that guy looks just like you, Stephen. She said, I'm telling you, it could be your twin. And he said, it freaked me out. He said, my mama's saying that I stabbed a guy. That mama said he looked just like me. And I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, with long hair down your shoulder? He said, yeah, long hair down my shoulder, just like me. I said, well, guess what, Hoss? You're fucked. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you don't have long hair. I said, how long ago did you cut your hair? Oh, he said, I cut my hair months and months ago. I said, so you, months and months ago, much less up to almost 3 weeks ago, were locked up in the Livingston Parish Jail. And he kind of looked at me. I said, yeah, man, I did my fucking homework. Real life, real crime. Let me tell you about Every Plate. With Every Plate, you can get meals you'll enjoy and your bank account will love. And the best part is they're delivered right to your door. My wife Cindy and I love Every Plate. And our favorite part about Every Plate is that they do the meal planning and shopping and the prepping for us. That takes all the time-consuming guesswork out of cooking. Once a week, I try to cook dinner for my wife, and it usually takes me like 3 hours. With Every Plate, recipes come together in about 30 minutes, and that's definitely faster than a trip to the grocery store and starting a meal from scratch. Last week with Every Plate, I made my wife a delicious Every Plate meal in 30 minutes, and I had still had time to go fishing in Lake Maurepas before the sun went down. I usually spend $80 on groceries at the store, but last week, I bought some spinnerbaits from my leftover money I had. Y'all do yourself and your family a favor and try Every Plate. Even at regular price, Every Plate is up to 58% cheaper than other major meal kits out there. Get 3 weeks of EveryPlate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to EveryPlate.com and entering code RLRC3. That's 3 weeks of EveryPlate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to EveryPlate.com and entering code RLRC3. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. I said, me and Big Country, you know, don't roll stupid. I said, you were locked up. You were a trustee there. So you're telling me you cut your hair short like it is now. And let me describe it. Yeah, he had a little bit of a length in the back, but the sides were like almost freshly shaven down. I mean, like obvious fresh, right? And he's like, no. I cut that like 3 months ago. And he's all flustered now. He knows he's fucked. And he's backtracking. And the one thing that never changes is the truth. Is if he was lying, he wouldn't have to backtrack. I said, okay, so you're telling me, your statement to me is you cut your hair 3 months ago, but you saw the guy at the car wash that stabbed the chief. He looked just like you, but he had long hair down his shoulders, just like you. I said, I think you said that 4 or 5 times. You kept tapping your shoulder as if you still had long hair. I said, how long have you had long hair for? He said, I had it my whole life, my whole adult life. I said, but you don't have it now. He said, oh, no, but I cut it like 3 or 4 months ago. I said, you sure about that? He said, absolutely. I cut it when I was locked up in jail. I said, all right. I said, but you get home. You spend a night at your buddy's house. You didn't leave. No, sir, I didn't. And I said, and you get home and your mama, you walk in the door and your mama says, Stephen. She said, that's right. She said, Stephen, did you stab that police officer in Walker? And he said, no, mama, why? It's because he looks, the guy in the sketch looks just like you, like I birthed me another son. So he knew he fucked up. And now the convict starts to come out in him. And he's like, you know what, fellas? I don't think I want to talk anymore. And then he's thinking, oh, shit. And I said, well, you know what? That's cool. I said, you're not under arrest. I said, you living at your mom and daddy? He said, yeah. I said, you got a phone? He said, I don't have a phone. I said, well, give me their number in case I need to talk to you. He said, well, you know, you don't need their number. I said, dude, just give me your fucking parents' phone number. I already know their address. And I said, you know, it's late. Now, we've been there for hours, y'all. I mean, didn't rush through anything. I'm paraphrasing this because otherwise it'd be a 10-part series. We've been there for hours grooming him and then getting his statements and getting him reiterate, et cetera, before we flipped the script on him about, hey, you know what? And I told him, I said, you know, Stephen, if you get something happened out there and you got some kind of altercation with the cop, maybe you didn't know he was a cop. It's a dark street on that bridge. It's dark. I said, you better fucking explain it, Hoss, and you better say that you stabbed him. I said, otherwise, when we come back with evidence, and if I'm going to get DNA off that knife they took out of him and inserted. Nobody touched it on purpose. We got the DNA. It's at the Big Country was like, it's at the crime lab now. I personally walked it in. It wasn't at the crime lab. Y'all, I'm lying. And Big Country said, I personally hand-walked it through with a letter from the colonel, and they are working on it. We're going to have it back in less than 24 hours. And he's nervous as a whore in church now, right? I mean, he's about to shit himself. He said, well, I just want to go. I said, fuck it, you can go. And then I said, you want to ride? And he was like, he hesitated. He's thinking, I mean, we're like probably 5 or 6 miles from his parents' house, and it's late. And if he was high on anything, we stopped him, which I don't think he was. He may have been, but he wasn't high anymore. And he knows he's in a real, his sugar is really turning to shit. He's going downtown. He knows that we played him, right? He's like, no, I'll just walk. So he walked, and I did have his parents' address on file from his parole paperwork. See, Jets, I'm like, okay, this is what we got to do. Boom, boom, boom. This is where we can get probable cause. I said, but we need to follow it up. I called Jason R, the head of SWAT. I said, dude, we got to get eyeballs on this cat. We cannot, you know, got to put somebody in the woods, whatever you got to do, get eyeballs on him. We cannot lose him. I'm telling you, this is the guy that stabbed Walter. And I told him the deal, and he said, fine. He called out a couple guys and had him headed in that direction to go find a place to set up and watch the parents' house and hopefully catch him before he got home. And meanwhile, we have to go, one, I want to go to his friend's house and see what he's got to say about where he was that night. That was key. Two, I called Danny Gomez and I woke him up. I said, Danny, when you stopped Stephen May that morning, he was real nervous. I said, tell me what he looked like. He said, what are you getting at? I said, just tell me what he looked like. Was there anything different to him? He said, yeah, he has shaved head on the side. His hair was real short and he always wore it long. I said, thank you. Write that up for me, please. Then I went to the jail, Tony Edwards and them. I said, listen, when he got out of jail, who was on duty? He said, we were on duty. We processed him out. I said, did he have long hair? He said, his hair was exactly as long as it was in that sketch artist thing. He said, Woody, I used to have to get on his ass every single morning by keeping that nasty ass greasy hair put up in that side of that blue net thing they had to wear in the kitchen cooking food, right? He said his hair was always falling out. I said, well, Cat told me he cut his hair. He had his head shaved inside the Livingston Parish prison over 3 months ago. He said, I'm telling you, he's full of fucking shit. I said, write it out. And said, I came back to you and I told you this. And the day you processed him out, what was his hair length? So Tony wrote it up and got some other people to write it up. Now, this happened over a period of hours. We go to the friend's house and this good guy, a good citizen, we'll say, he has a job, et cetera. I said, can you tell me about Stephen Mace? What do you want to know? I said, well, did he spend Friday night with you? He said, not with me. He said, I got up. I had to work Saturday morning. I walk out of my porch. Motherfucker sleep on my porch. And I said, really? And I said, that's the first time you saw him? I said, yeah. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I kicked the shit out of him. I said, get your fucking ass off my porch. And I said, y'all been friends for a long time? He said, yeah, we've been friends, man. But, you know, he's been like, I knew him since high school and stuff. Friends, he said, but I don't really associate with him because he's a shithead. And I said, I get that. I said, so you woke him up right here on the porch? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what happened then? He said, he asked me, did I have any razors or scissors? And I was like, what for? He said, I need to cut my hair. And he said, well, yeah, I got a pair of clippers, but you're not coming to my house and cutting that nasty ass hair. He said, I'll cut it in your garage. And he said, he took it out there and he cut his hair in the garage. I said, dude, please tell me. I said, did he throw it away? He said, yeah, he threw it away. And I said, has your trash run? He said, yeah, it's not going. I mean, they came and picked up since then. I said, so you actually saw him cut his hair that morning? He said, yes. He used my shit, right? So we were able to get the clippers, take them into evidence because they still had some hairs on them. Ultimately, to end up proving that it's Stephen May's hair and this guy's telling the truth. Got a statement from his friend that he woke him up on the porch and Stephen had the long hair. He cut it in his garage. Then great shit, great probable cause. And that he left, when he left is when Danny Gomez stopped him, the uniform patrol stopped him on the road. He had a knife on him, the 1+1 rule I told you about. And Danny said, the only thing that's different out of a thousand other times I stopped him was he had short hair on the sides and it looked like it had been freshly cut. Gets home, his own mama says, did you stab that police officer, baby? And that boy looks just like you. So we build it all up. Now I have enough probable cause. I have 50% plus one. So the powers that be with me and decide the course of action. I present everything that I have. I'm like, look, I know I can get a warrant. We got guys watching him, or at least we thought we did. We had some SRT members that were set up watching his parents' house. And I said, I need to go talk to his mama and ask her about the sketch thing, right? And so, but meanwhile, I'm going to get the warrant. And kind of catch 22 and call Tina Stafford in, secretary at the time. You can't even call her secretary. She ran the office. She would always come in on any high-profile cases and type up the warrant. She knew what we needed. So we roll out to talk to his parents and a knock on the door. Meanwhile, the warrant's being made. A knock on the door, just regular detective clothes, no SWAT team, no nothing. And it's like afternoon time. And the daddy opened the door. And I'm like, hey, I said, Detective Overton, Sheriff's Office, can I talk to you? And they're like, what do you want? I mean, he was no friend, right? And I said, I want to talk to you about your son, Stephen May. I said, is Stephen here? He said, no, he's not here. I said, really? I said, he told me he lives here. He stays here all the time. He said he does stay here, but he's not here now. So when did he leave? He said, like, what? Why? I said, because I'm just asking you a question, man. I said, when did he leave? I said, actually, I'm not even here talking.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC. Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Steven, I'm here to talk to your wife. He wouldn't even let me in the door. This house was on a dead end street, one way in, one way out, another super small street. And these people were good people. The mom and dad were. They were elderly. They were elderly. And I just think that they love their son, right? And then he gets Steven's mom to come to the door, and she's a little old lady. And I said, Miss May, I said, I just want to ask you one thing. I said, when Steven came home Saturday around noon and you were watching the news, I said, did you tell him or ask him, did he stab the police officer? Because, and I said, Steven told me this. I said, Steven told me that when he came in, you said, baby, did you stab the police officer? And he said, no. He said, why? I said, because he looks just like you, the sketch does. And dad cut me off and said, she ain't saying shit, and shut the door in my face. I'm like, Tibor, roger that, motherfucker. You know, I didn't say it out loud. So a jet back, we go, and Tina's got the warrant typed up. I go in, I get a judge to sign it. Now, it's a really good circumstantial case at this point. Well, guess what? The knife is still going to get processed for DNA. That's going to rule it out beyond a probable cause, right? Beyond all reasonable doubt. But now we have the hair and stuff. So you don't have to wait to make an arrest to get a prosecution, is what I'm telling you. I knew we had enough solid base of a case to get the probable cause, which is 50% plus one, to get the warrant signed. Go get this guy under arrest. I knew he pled out before to stabbing somebody. He does not want to go on trial for attempted first-degree murder, police officer. And guess what? Walter still went out to the hospital. He could have died. So go and get the warrant signed. And now we still got people watching the house, and they hadn't seen Stephen leave, and they haven't seen him stay. But the dad left like a couple times. I think there was a brother. I don't want to misspeak on that. But the dad left like a couple times when he had unmarked units following him and stuff. I said, you know what? Fuck this. Let's get another warrant to get a GPS tracker to put on their vehicle in case we lose them. Because y'all, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to follow somebody in a car. You could have multiple unmarked. It's not like you see in the movies. You can have multiple unmarked units with radios trying not to be discovered. They got by the person that you're following. And you can still lose them. Yeah, even in a cop, unmarked cop car, you still lose them, right? We were pulling out all the stops in this one. Money wasn't an object. Manpower wasn't an object. I said, I actually got getting the warrant signed and had Tina type up another one to get a GPS tracker for family vehicles because I knew if he left or if he wasn't there, I knew they were going to where his location was and giving him money or, you know, food or whatever it may be. So we had to find him at all costs. Now, I know we got a cop killer, an attempted cop killer out there. So we get the GPS trackers and went back to the house, and it was nighttime by now, and they had some SRT guys go and put the trackers on the car. We also got a search warrant for the residence, and we went up, surrounded the house with the SWAT team and rolled in deep, right? And there was like some outbuildings and stuff surrounded the place before we went up and banged on the door, sheriff's office search warrant, sheriff's office search warrant. Now, we didn't want to kick in the door on these old people. But as far as we know, Stephen May's in there, and he might have a shotgun or something. So you got to use the search warrant. You have to use the element of surprise, and you have to be tactical. And the main thing is that we all go home safely. So long story short, SRT makes entry, shows the search warrant to the mom and dad, have him sit down, and they say he's not here. And guess what? They were telling the truth. They turned the house up, not, you know, didn't flip cushions on the couch looking for the guy, obviously looking for a body. But they were adamant he wasn't there. They searched everywhere they could in the house, searched all the property, the outbuildings and everything. Shit, he wasn't there. So now we got a problem. We have an attempted cop killer on the street, and we got to find him. That's priority number one. So we bolo to everybody. Now, we don't release it to the media that we have an arrest warrant, but I did tell the dad, before we left, I said, let me tell you something. Mr. May, this is serious shit. You see all these men in black. Now, the SRT, y'all, when they roll out in their helmets and the all-black uniforms and the tactical gear and shit, it's impressive. And it'll put a fear in many a man's heart, right? And you have them come in and search your house in the middle of the night. Even though Stephen May was a frequent flyer, they had never had that kind of treatment before. But when they're leaving and they know the scene's secure, I said, Mr. May, I do not want to see Stephen get killed. I don't think that he intentionally or whatever, you know, intentionally stab assistant chief. I think maybe things got out of hand. I don't know. I don't think he's that kind of a bad guy. I said he actually tried to help us, et cetera. I said, but I have a warrant for his arrest for attempted first-degree murder of a police officer. I said, the problem is I know Stephen May. I got to spend 5 hours talking to him, et cetera. I just think he's a hard luck Johnny, right? I mean, he's just, you know, he can't, he's just like a shit magnet. And I said, I understand his parents. I understand you've been dealing with in and out of prison your whole lives. I said, but these other guys, they don't give a shit. All they know is Stephen May stabbed a cop. And if they see him and he's always got a knife on him and he pulls a knife, he's going to get killed. They go in, you know, in law enforcement, you have the 21-foot rule. Someone pulls a knife on you or has a dangerous weapon besides a firearm. Obviously, you can shoot them, whatever. But they have a dangerous weapon and they're coming at you. They violate that 21-foot personal space. You could kill them or you could shoot them and legally. I said, the problem is all of these, every cop swinging Tom, Dick, and Harry in this parish, in the state, now knows he is wanted for attempted first-degree murder of a police officer. Why? Because wherever he is, he might try to get out of trouble again and stab another one. I said, they're going to kill him. I said, you better bring him to me and turn him in. I said, I promise you, you bring him to me or I'll come meet you wherever. Get him to turn himself in. I will personally take him into custody and make sure he's safe. And I left him like that. He knew I was serious. And y'all probably would have happened, right? Stephen wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. So go back to the office. Everybody's on the lookout, et cetera. And the next morning, sheriff calls me. Now, Rita's hidden. Okay. So there's nobody. All the government offices are closed. I'll never forget this morning. All the government offices are closed, et cetera. But Willie called me. Sheriff Graves called me. He said, listen, he says, Stephen May's daddy's going to, or wants to bring him to the courthouse to turn him in. He said he wants to do it in the public view and he wants to make sure he's not going to get killed. I said, that's fine. I said, Sheriff, we still got to have a SWAT team. I said, we don't know if he's going to show up and have a shootout. We don't know. He said, I agree with you on that. And he said, get the canine also, but hide him. And when he pulls up, the sheriff had his own personal parking lot. He said, I'm going to direct him to pull into the parking lot. You need to be standing there. I'll stand there with you. And when they pull up, and when he starts to get out of the car, SWAT team can move in. I said, cool. So that's what happened. I forget what time it was, 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever. Dad pulls up in the car. And I don't know how Stephen May got back for, because we had eyeballs on the house the whole time. The GPS trackers, the vehicles had never moved. So he must have been hiding in the woods or something. I don't know. But Dad brings them up, and they pull in, and they go to get out of the car. And Stephen's eyes are focused on me. And the dad's eyes are focused on me and the sheriff. And they go to the guys. I said, come on out. I'm waving out of the car. And he takes a step out of the car. And the men in black come out of the bushes. They must have jumped out of the trees. But they came in running full force. And they made him get some fucking real estate. That's what I used to call it. Or they swamp donkeyed him, meaning they body slammed him down. But rightfully so, not unnecessary force, because you don't know if this guy's got a gun and he wants to do suicide by cop or whatever. But let's say they gently escorted him to the concrete. Remember, he stabbed a cop. They gently escorted him to the concrete and were able to put him in handcuffs. And, of course, he didn't have a knife on him this time. Meanwhile, his dad's going ape shit. Oh, yeah, I didn't have to do that. You'd have to treat him that way. Da, 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 da. I said, that's to Mr. May. So all due respect, sir, we're going home today, right? And we don't know if Stephen showed up with a hand grenade to kill us all. Oh, that's bullshit. I told you I would come up here and turn him in. And da, da, da. You said it's going to be peaceful. I said, it's peaceful. He's alive. I said, you hadn't done it. You hadn't done the right thing as a father. His fucking ass would be dead somewhere. Somebody would have ended up shooting him. And they could have shot him and dropped the knife on him, right? I said, you did the right thing. He said, well, I want to come with him. I said, no, I'm sorry. A sheriff didn't tell you that you were going to be able to come in and play father of the year when I bring him up and read him his charges and shit. I said, you're not coming. And the sheriff stayed and talked to his dad, and they stayed and tried to calm him down. I took Stephen May up to the detective's office interview room, sat him down. I said, hey, got him a little cleaned up there. He might have had a little cement burn or whatever, but it got him cleaned up and he's pissed. And I said, Stephen, I didn't do this shit to you. I said, don't be mad at me. I said, you did this. And it was absolutely the right thing for your daddy to bring you in, because you'd have got killed. And he's kind of hanging his head. And I said, now, here's the deal. I'm going to take the cuffs off of you. I'm going to put them in the front. And I stand up. I pat for us to make sure they didn't miss anything. I said, I don't believe you're a bad guy. Now, I'm trying to buddy back up, right? I need a confession. I said, I don't believe you're a bad guy. And I uncuffed him, put the cuffs in front of him. I sat him back down by me. I closed the distance between us, put my hands on him and stuff. I said, look at me, man. I said, look at me. You did 10 years hard time already for stabbing another dude in a fight. I said, what happened in that case? I said, I'm guessing that guy attacked you and you were defending yourself, but you just happened to have a knife. Maybe he was whipping your ass and you stabbed him. He said, yeah, that's what happened. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't really like this whole story. The assistant chief will walk now playing the bad guy against the cops. I said, I don't really like his whole story. I said, I'm going to tell you a couple things you don't know. I said, first of all, when he got out on you, he didn't call it in. And he like kind of looked at me. I said, that's right. He didn't call it in. He didn't say, I'm out with a white male on Carroll Road, blah, 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 right? And I said, you've been stopped enough time walking the street. He said, they always call it in. Every time I get stopped, and he said, they'll come back and ask them, are they okay? And then they'll tell them, run Stephen May for warrants, 17Fs. I said, that's right. I said, he didn't do any of that. I said, but his story is that he gets out and he approaches you and he asks for ID and that you punched him in the shoulder. Then you punched him in the stomach. And he tried to grab you by the arm and you turned and you stabbed him. And he said, nah. Emmy, he said, that ain't how it happened. I said, well, then you got to tell me what happened. Y'all all want is a confession. I don't care if he's lying or not. I just want him to put himself there. I mean, I care if the base facts have to be true, but I want to establish the fact that he was there, not at his friend's house, et cetera. And I hit him with all that. I said, you fucked yourself on your hair that night when we were interviewing you. I said, then you told me a shit pile of lies. I said, I've proven that you didn't get your hair cut in jail. I've proven where you got your hair cut at. I said, I actually got your hair from your friend's house. He didn't know. I said, you shaved your shit off in his garage. I said, we got your hair and we're going to get your DNA off the knife. That's, you heard Big Country tell you that's coming back. And I said, difference is you're going to be away forever if you don't start telling the truth. And he started hanging his head. And then he said, well, he pulled up on me. I didn't know it was a cop car. It's a dark street. And he gets out and he runs up on me and he grabbed me by my arm and he was roughhousing with me. He said, I didn't know he was a cop. I didn't know he was a cop. Well, fucking everybody knew he was a cop, right? Even if he didn't turn his lights on, he had a uniform and a badge on, even though it's a little bit dark. But he said, basically, Stephen said, this dude just jumps out on him and starts attacking him for no reason. And he said, I took my knife out. And I spun around. I didn't mean to stab him. I spun around to show him that I had a knife and I accidentally stabbed him in the stomach. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I hauled ass. I said, well, you know, there you have it, right? I said, it is what it is. And I said, you didn't even do anything but help yourself out by, you know, telling us what really happened. I said, because you know we would have had you by DNA. And he's shaking his head. He said, yeah, I know you'd have got me. He said, you're pretty sharp. You'd have got me. And he said, I knew I was fucked. He said, but I didn't just stab him just to stab him. You know, it was self-defense. So sure it was. Absolutely. You know, fuck you. And it's what I was thinking. And I said, Stephen, I said, you know, at the end of the day, what really got you? I said, well, really, really? Because I'm kind of buddy up to him, y'all. You know, there's no reason for me to be an asshole to him if he's trying to cooperate. And I got as much as I was going to get out of him and record it, et cetera. I said, you know what really did it for me, Steve? And he said, what's that? I said, when you said you walked in your mama's house and she's watching the noon news, they just showed the composite and she turned and she said, Steven, baby, that's how he told us that night at Walker PD. He said, my mama, and he did her voice, said, baby, did you stab that police officer last night in Walker? And he's like, man, I know. He said, my own mama knew I did it, right? I said, yeah. So booked him in for attempted first degree murder. I think, y'all, he got like 30 years. I'm not sure. I didn't keep up with it after that because then Rita hits and we were another 30 days at least without a day off. And I never kept up with it. I know Walter's no longer in law enforcement. And like I told you, Hunter's at the state police and Big Country is retired now too. But that's the conclusion of Mama Said. And sorry it took 2 weeks to tell you, but just a good old story, good old fashioned police work and a little bit of luck. So thank you. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Patreon members, you should have got your second episode this month. Dropped that to you earlier this week. And I'm recording this a week early. So, or a week and a half early. So if we got news on Courtney Coco, that wouldn't surprise me. But if we haven't, then we're still doing justice for Courtney as always. Calling your tips on Barbara Blunt, and go to LOPA.org, sign up to be an organ donor, give the gift of life, please. You just never know who you're going to help, especially now with the COVID. So many people are having their lungs destroyed, and so many people are getting lung transplants, and guess what? Every lung they get transplanted came off an organ donor to save their lives. That being said, follow me Instagram, at Real Life Real Crime and at Overton Woody. Take a picture of it. Send it to me however you want to. You'll be entered into a drawing. I just did a second round of drawings this week. Every 50 people that sign up, I'm going to give away an autographed copy of my book or Real Life Real Crime face masks. They're really nice, or one of our great window decals. And I love all you lifers. It can't be a Patreon member. I get it. That doesn't matter. I love you anyway. Thank you for sharing. If you would, leave me a review on iTunes. Thank you for helping us grow. I appreciate you so much. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tompley.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.